All right, Barker, you salty old dog. I mean, you gotta be happy about that. Never in doubt. Nice, clean, tidy 1-0 win for my Blue Jays. Never in doubt, Barker.
Yeah, 1-0 blowout. That's what I said today, ending our show. I said it'd be a 2-0 blowout. I was close.
You were? 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Hey, folks, should we just stop talking about this team's issues with running and runners in scoring position? And just
absolutely.
And just, I mean, this is what it is, and let's start talking about something else. Because
The pitching.
I'm looking at their numbers. And look, everybody always talks about how good the pitching's been, but ... I think you just celebrate the pitching. Starting pitching's terrific. Bullpen is really good. I mean, the numbers bear that out. We've dissected the problems with runners in scoring position ad nauseum. Nothing's going to change. You got the same old guys doing the same old things. Although I really do have to tell you, now, you give me grief because you claim that I always pick on poor Kevin Biggio. Yeah, I don't pick on him. I just like to point some things out. I got to tell you, Paul DeJong, I really want to know who Santiago Espinal pissed off in this organization. Like, he said or did something to somebody to lose playing time to this guy. Anyhow.
Yeah, he's 2 for his last 30.
It's a solid 2 for his last 30.
He's hitting the ball hard. Exit velocity.
Exit velocity is really good.
Yeah. He's a veteran dude who can catch the ball in the middle of the infield. That's all I can figure. Who has options? Other than that, I'm not real sure.
Yeah. Anyhow. You can't blame him for this loss tonight. Well, wait a minute. They won. Can't blame him for the win either. George Springer, Kevin Barker, 13-pitch at-bat with Logan Allen. I want to ask you about Logan Allen. 13-pitch at-bat with Logan Allen hits a home run. That is it. That is all the damage. The Jays in the second inning, back-to-back walks. The aforementioned Paul DeJong and Dalton Varsho, weak fly balls. Fast forward to it all runs together. What are we looking at here? The eighth inning. Bases loaded. None out. Danny Jansen, captain clutch up. It's a 3-1 pitch, not deep enough to score a runner. And then with the infield playing in, I mean, Davis Schneider hits a ball and it takes a great play. It takes a very good play, but still a double play. And that eighth inning, just a fly ball, man. I need a fly ball deep enough to score, guy. It doesn't even make you shake. It doesn't make you shake your head anymore. I think this is this team, and I guess clearly they didn't make a move at the trade deadline. So either the front office thinks they can win a whole bunch of 1-0 games, or I don't know. There's some button that needs to be pushed in khaki land or something like that that's going to suddenly change things.
I thought you started the show and said we shouldn't talk about it anymore.
Well, Then I morphed into it.
And you forgot about the fifth inning and Vladdy. I mean, if you're gonna do this, do it right. Like,
yeah, the fifth
inning.
Forget, come
on. Don't forget the double play that he took. You get 91 from a lefty right down the middle.
That's
you jam
true.
Yourself.
Like, I mean, I just run out. I run out of things to whine about.
Give everybody
about
their credit. If you're gonna do this, then give everybody credit. Right. Again, it's just like the situation. It's like Danny Jansen, and I hate to even bring this up because I'm a huge fan of Danny Jansen, and he's had some really big time hits, and he hits a bunch of homers, but a 3-1 fastball up and away, that's not his sweet spot. We talk about that all the time.
Yep.
It's okay to go 3-2. I mean, just because it's up, it's away. Like, you don't like the ball away. You're a pull hitter. You like the ball middle and middle in. You surely don't like the ball up and away. So it's things like that, right? It's situations where in big moments on the road where your team just – your offense needs to give a little breathing room where it's just not the seventh game of the World Series. And John Schneider doesn't have to match up in the ninth inning. And, oh, by the way, I thought Jordan Hicks was a no-brainer. Obviously, John thinks not.
No one said he was a no-brainer.
We had the conversation for a couple of days here about Izzy. I think John just told you he didn't feel like he is.
Let's talk about Kevin Gausman. Velo was down, something you talked about going into the game. But I honestly, that may be just because he didn't need it tonight. He did hit 96.8. Let's round it up to 97 on the gun. Again, 14 called strikes, 28 called strikes and whiffs. 26 pitch first inning, and then what, 64 pitches for the next six innings? I mean, what do you say about this rotation?
Guardians lineup's not real good. I mean, let's start there. First inning, 26 pitches. Like, you know, he was throwing, it's in that 90, 92 range. That's a lot of the times when he's giving it up, right? And I'm sure better lineups might have had some few better at-bats and maybe hit some balls harder. But after that, it's sort of, you had your chance to get me, and you didn't. And when you don't, and I start throwing harder, like the split finger, I find better release point, I finish it a little bit more because I'm throwing harder. You got to cheat to get to that velocity, and you're going to chase more times than not. And you mentioned it, right? It's getting enough called strikes to get you in swing mode. And when he gets you in swing mode and adding the velocity and the good release point on that split finger, and he occasionally, just because he can, throw that slider to a righty, that's... And now he's starting, I think, looks like he's throwing sweepers to lefties, trying to backdoor that, right, just to steal some strikes and do some things to take a little bit pressure off of the split finger this late in the season. He's a smart dude, right? And I'm with you. Maybe he just felt like he didn't need it. He got in pitch mode. When you get in pitch mode instead of throw mode to a lineup that, quite frankly, probably didn't scare him a ton. I mean, he's got to pitch around one dude, and if he does that, it's smooth sailing. That's exactly what it was. The pitching, can we say that it's the best pitching in the American League? And
yeah, without question.
You could argue almost in the in baseball.
Pretty,
that's on the other side too.
Pretty darn close.
I mean, there's some good pitching staffs, but this is hard to argue, right? I mean, it's right up there with the best ones.
When you have a 13 pitch at bat, is there a point in that at bat where you think the odds start to favor the hitter?
I think just the opposite. I've been in some of those. Now, obviously, right, it was, you know, sometimes whenever you're struggling and you're one of the guys and you're supposed to be one of the guys and you're thinking to yourself, man, I should have hit that one. And he got quite a few in there, right?
Yeah.
Some ones that caught a bunch of the plate that he, you could tell, looked at his face, right? He didn't, don't need me telling you. You can tell whenever he takes a good swing and he thinks he should have hammered that thing and he doesn't. But give him credit, right? He kept battling and he got a fastball middle up. You get it like that and you put a decent swing on it. I always thought you had so many good swings in one at bat. Sometimes you get lucky, and that's probably one of those times where, right, you just battle and battle and battle, and it's sort of like, I'm not getting myself out. You're going to have to get me out. And just so happens the pitcher threw one basically right down the middle, a little up, and a good hitter made him pay for it. Good for George. They needed that. I mean, again, it gets back to that. You give a good pitcher a lead, and now he gets into pitch mode, and he's adding and subtracting, and he's stealing some strikes, and he's getting some quick outs. Sort of looks the way it looks.
1-0, the Blue Jays have beaten the Cleveland Guardians in the third game of this four-game series. Fourth game is a 107 first pitch tomorrow right here on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular phone. Simon in Boston. You want to talk about the Jays bullpen?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I first wanted to just give the flowers to Tim Mesa and the bullpen and all, because I think this Jays team would genuinely be nowhere without them. And then I had an idea last night, and I'd be curious your guys' thought. They, Jays, go into a wild card series away up in or down in Minnesota. I personally would consider pitching Kikuchi. I think he's won me over.
Over who?
Bassett.
Right.
He's won me over in the last couple months. Also, if you look at home and away splits, Kikuchi's been pretty much the same, where Bassett's got an ERA over 5 away from home.
And he's given up, I think, now this was – How many starts ago, Kevin, we said he's given up 16 of his home runs on the road, I believe. I believe the split is 16-6. I haven't updated it, but you're right. He's a worse pitcher on the road than he is at home, Simon. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so I think if they go into Minnesota, I'd strongly consider. I know you guys have talked many times about Kikuchi moving to the bullpen in the playoffs, but I'd really consider giving him a start in a game three. So I just want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, Simon, thanks for the call. I'm going to pass it over to Kevin. It would depend on who the matchup is, but I can't argue now.
I mean, if it's Twinkies on the road, to Simon's point, he's made 13 starts on the road with an ERA of a little over five.
Bassett?
This is Bassett. Yeah. He's made 11 starts at home with an ERA of 2.5. To your point, Jeff, on the road, he's given up 17 homers. At home, he's given up 4.
Wow. Okay. I thought it was 16-6. So that's even more pronounced.
Big number. So, yeah, absolutely. You say Kikuchi. I mean, he throws hard. He's got tons of confidence. I mean, it would be interesting to see when they would use him. Like, if they lose game one, who do you pitch in game two? It's that thing. I know you'd probably open it up and you'd pitch everybody if you have to. But who starts it? That would be the question, right? And then if you win it, right, who would you want in game three to give you a little security blanket for if you lose game two? There's some thought that would go into that, but Simon makes a great point. Like, it's – you say Kikuchi, and you made this point today. Even for us to be having this conversation this late in the year, after the way he looked last year – I mean, basically, he at times didn't even look like a big league pitcher. And now all of a sudden, where would they be without him? They wouldn't be in a playoff spot, I can tell you that.
Guy in Maple.
Alert to all the Jays fans. If you plan on watching Jays in 30, you can turn it off after the Springer at bat.
That's not nice. Come on, then you're going to miss that double play by Vladdy, and you're going to miss... You're going to miss the magic of that Davis Schneider double play. That's not fair.
I could feel Barker cringing watching that game tonight. It was just like,
no, Barker.
I mean, between Barshow and DeYoung back to back. Oh my God. But I do agree with what you guys were just talking about at the beginning with DeYoung. I mean, surely you could put in Espinal one game a week. I mean, he had been hitting a little bit better, but I mean, DeYoung, I think he's like 2-for-28, 10 strikeouts. Has he had a 5-pitch at bat once yet in 28 at bat?
Has he seen five pitches in a game? Actually, that's not fair because he struck out twice tonight, so he saw at least 6 pitches in a game.
I was on 4 pitches the last at bat, and I was thinking to myself, like, I don't think this guy's had a 2-2 count the whole time he's been here.
Yeah, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just the quality of the at-bats, and, you know, and then you got Varsho hitting behind him. I mean, listen, it is what it is. You guys said it, like, at the beginning. Like, this is the team that we are. We have an incredible, incredible pitching staff. I think it's by far the best in the American League, arguably the best in baseball. And that's why it's such a shame that they didn't add a bat at the trade deadline. And, you know, I'm sure, like, if you don't put an Espinal – you know, listen, Berger, I brought this up a couple times. His on base, I think, is like 360. I mean, surely he can provide steady defense at short. I don't know what his numbers are as far as errors. Maybe you guys could pull that up. But
who is this?
I mean, Berger.
Yeah, he's more a second baseman, I think, isn't he? Is that what they've looked at him as second? He could be playing at shortstop. Yeah, boy, I mean, it's an interesting thought. I don't know if I'd picture Barger and Davis Schneider as my keystone combination in August at any point. You know, I mean, DeYoung is here because of his defense.
You know, only because of the defense, obviously, because his at bats are like, it's Varsho 2.0. It's even worse. It's just, I just shake my head. Like, honestly, I turn the channel when they're up at bat. I can't watch it. I get so upset.
Yeah.
Because they go over and over again. And I just thought I'd throw it out there. You know, like, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts. If, you know, what would you guys do if you were the manager? Do you put in Espinal a couple games at this point? Because we need to get a couple of good quality at bats from our 8 and 9 hitters, and we're getting nothing. I'll hang up and listen, guys. And, Parker, stop cringing. Talk to you later.
So,
Well, I mean, look, I get the point. Like, it's sometimes offensively at the bottom of the order, it's a tough watch, right? When Kiermaier's not hitting ninth, it's sometimes it's a tough watch. But I get back to the fifth inning, lefty on the mound, throws 91 right down the middle, and Vladdy jams himself. I mean, is it because he's not looking for that, or is he not ready to hit? You know, we had Cito Gaston on today, and it was about getting your front foot down
almost,
on time to get
it almost made you think he wasn't ready to hit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How do you, even if you're not looking for 91, it's right down the middle because you have the talent he has. You should be annihilating that. It's for me, it's sort of more about those kind of at bats, and sort of like Danny Jansen. Now the expectations, because he's been getting big hits, are more than him chasing a 3-1 fastball, something that he can't drive and hit harder somewhere. Like, those are the at bats that I would point the finger at more than DeJong and Dalton Varsho. Dalton Varsho, again, it's hard for me to pick. Like, it's not his fault they started the season hitting in cleanup. It's not his fault he hit fifth yesterday. Like, it is what it is, right? It's just he's going up there. You can tell he's a very good defender. He does all the baseball IQ things you want, right? He can help a team win a World Series offensively. How do you hide him? Like, it's he's hitting seventh or eighth or ninth for me, and hopefully he plays the defense he'll always be playing, and hopefully somebody else gets a big hit.
Here's what kind of puzzles me about Danny's approach, dude. At his best, Danny's a pull hitter.
Absolutely.
You're not pulling that pitch.
You wouldn't think not at that velocity.
Even if you make contact, you're not pulling it. So
I understand why you swing at the ball that's up because of Danny's level swing. That's an easier ball for him to get in the air. But you can tell at that velocity where that location was at, that's a ball you can't hit hard. You can't barrel that. And he didn't. And it didn't get the job done. It's little things like that, right, that they need to get a little bit better at.
Kevin Gausman was awfully good tonight. 7 innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, 90 pitches after a 26-pitch first inning. This was his manager, John Schneider, after the game.
I thought he almost had to be perfect, and he was. You know, velo was kind of up and down, and once he kind of got settled in and you get 97, 96, you know, paired with the split, you know, he's as good as anybody, and I think that just another example of why he's a Cy Young, you know, candidate for us this year. But made really good pitches. And I think, you know, with Kev, every outing, you kind of have to see how the team is attacking him. And, you know, split was a good pitch for him, and he utilized it well. I mean, you trust Kev basically as long as he has pitches. And I think with the way our bullpen set up with where they were in the order, you know, Swanee kind of protects against some pinch hits, you know, that we kind of knew were coming with his split as well. And then you have a combination of Timmy and Jordan for the ninth. You know, you kind of just, you know, you have your plan, and then you kind of got to watch what the guy's showing you a little bit, how he's finishing his pitches. And I think he finished with 90, right? 90 total. You know, could have sent him back out there. You know, just much rather have Swanee in a clean inning rather than traffic. But, again, Kev has earned probably the longest leash that we have.
Yeah, and also ending his night by picking off Gonzalez, which was base running is what?
Atrocious. It's not debatable. Like, somebody can't come on our show and this show and tell me otherwise. It's that late in the game on a team that, quite frankly, doesn't score runs at all. Like, you can't make mistakes like that. And I got to be honest with you. When I played, that dude wouldn't be on the team tomorrow. Like, it's amazing. It's so amazing that I'm speechless. I can't even speak anymore, Jeff.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Folks, I've got news for you, by the way. It is not the first time I've seen Kevin Barker speechless. He is quite often speechless when we're doing
how many our, people you thought saw Kirky drop his glove?
Our show prep.
Everybody but the dude standing at second. Everybody.
Hey, you know what we need to do tonight? You know who we need to hear from? Billy and Markham. What's up, Billy?
Hi, fellas. Hey, Kevin, you are so bang on. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm just speechless of how baseball's played nowadays. And I'm not just talking about the Blue Jays. You know, I go from game to game to game. I watch everything. It is mind-boggling. And you're absolutely right. Like there's no discipline anymore. A guy gets picked off. He should sit on the bench for two games. Three games, and just say, if your head's not in it, we don't want you out there. You're killing us. But, I mean, guys, listen, here's the problem. The problem is very simple, and I know we've gotten wins, and I don't know if the Orioles wound up losing tonight. The division is still right there. Don't think that the Orioles have got this thing locked up. We as bad as we've played, we can still come back and win this division. You know, I heard your show earlier, Jeff. I know you're a little worried about Tampa Bay. Don't worry about them. They can come back and win the division the way everything's going in baseball. But
Houston's beating Baltimore 7-2 right now. By the way.
So they piled on. They were up 3-2. Yeah. So listen. Very simply put, Jeff. I remember when I first started coming on to your show a while back when you first started. One thing that I'm going to disagree with just about everybody in the industry is I don't think pitching wins in the World Series or in the playoffs. I don't. I think pitching gets you to the playoffs. Once you get to the playoffs, it's the team that can hit. And I don't mean so much that the games are going to end up 12-10 or 8-6. But you've got to be able to do the little things and score 3, 4, 5 runs a game. And this is what we just don't seem to be able to do. It is unbelievable how this has gone on all year. You think we blow somebody out. I mean, okay, I think Thomas Hatch would have shut out Cleveland. This team just looks
–
Cleveland looks terrible. And by the way, nice at bat, Ramirez, in the ninth inning, swinging the ball that bounced before the plate. You know, but anyway, listen, we have got – we're going to make the playoffs, but we have got to start hitting, guys. I can't make it any simpler than that. Our pitching has been great. You guys have hit it bang on with the pitching all through the year. But everybody pitches everybody's got good pitchers. You know that the bullpen, you hardly see the bullpens in the in crucial games. You know you're going to go with all starters. That's where we have an advantage. We got 6 guys. I mean, we're worried about Kikuchi. You know, you could throw Kikuchi and another one of our starters in a game if we need it in a game 3 if we have to play a 3-game series. I don't think the Penn sees the playoffs. But guys, honestly, man, we have got to start hitting. We have got to start hitting, or it's going to be over and out pretty quickly. That's how I see it. Later, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with Billy at all there. Every day I look at the lineup and I go, okay, what could John Schneider conceivably do differently here? And, well, first of all, without Bo there, I think you're right. Once Bo gets back, then you might be able to do some things. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's moved everybody everywhere for the most part. You know, he hasn't gotten silly, I don't think, is Whit Merrifield hit 4th, 5th, or 6th?
Maybe 6th.
But other than that, I have to admit, I kind of like the idea of Merrifield, Springer, and Bo as my 1-2-3 at the top. Now I know at some point you're going to have to account for Brandon Belt, but I kind of like that at the top. I like the looks of Springer in the number 2 hole. But again, you know, as you said, the idea with hitting Bo third is get 2 guys who are going to be on base. So hopefully more often than not, or at least once a night, Bo comes up with 2 guys on as opposed to 1. And, you know, George is an aggressive hitter. And as you said, you're not going to see a lot of pitches. But other than that, I mean, there's no silver bullet or magic bullet here. As far as I can see.
Yeah. Other than the second inning, he had, because of the way the lineup's made out, exactly the dudes he wanted up in big spots.
Sure. Well,
fifth inning, first and second, you got your big boy up, yeah. Vladdy. Absolutely. He gets 91 right down the middle, center cut, be ready to hit. That's exactly what you want. That's why you make out the lineup the way you do. In the 8th inning, he has Jansen come up with the bases loaded. That's right. Exactly what you want. That's why you're putting him there. Like, that's how you were sitting in your office going, 8th inning, bases loaded. This is exactly what I want. I want Danny Jansen coming up because he's a pull hitter. He can change the game with 1 swing. That's exactly what you want. So, yeah, for me, it's no longer about John Schneider. It's no longer about the organization. It's the player. Like, it's the players that he's done everything possible to try and spark these players and this lineup to get hot. And I just don't know. When Bo gets back, he's hitting third for me, and then you fill in the blanks everywhere else. I like Brandon Belt because he works counts and he gets on base. I like Whit Merrifield leading off for the same fact. He's really good with runners in scoring position. So dudes at the bottom of the order get on. He can drive them in. So you got two dudes now. You got Whit and you got Bo that can drive people in. I like that. And then you fill in the blanks everywhere else. And hopefully, fingers crossed, everybody else does something.
1-888-666-0590-*590-416-870-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Blue Jays, 1-0 winners over the Cleveland Guardians tonight at Progressive Field. We'll take a break, come back, and get you caught up with our Bet 365 scoreboard. And a little bit about a rather impressive performance in Philadelphia tonight by a dude making his first home start since being traded to the Phillies. It's Blue Jays Talk.
One more pitch, he's saying. One more pitch.
One more pitch. The 3-2 pitch. Swung on, popped up, shallow center field. Rojas sprinting in. He's under it. He has space. Makes the catch. And Michael Lorenzen has thrown the 14th no-hitter in Philadelphia Phillies history. He is being mobbed by his teammates as the Phillies shut out the Nationals 7-0.
Now is Tom McCarthy with John Kruk in the background on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Michael Lorenzen, acquired at the trade deadline from the Detroit Tigers in his first start at home for the Philadelphia Phillies. 5 strikeouts, 4 walks, tosses a no-hitter at the Washington Nationals. The Phillies go on to a 7-0 win, the 14th no-hitter in history of the Philadelphia Phillies. Time now for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. This is a good night, I think, Kevin. I think we should adopt this as kind of our motto. This is a good night to just not dissect victory. Just take the win, stick it in your hip pocket, go to the hotel, come back tomorrow and try to win again. It's been a good night, so far at least, in the American League East for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Houston Astros are currently leading the Baltimore Orioles 7-2.
Ooh, they good.
I wouldn't say we've been sleeping on the Astros, but part of the furniture, and we need to pay attention to the Astros.
I think we need to talk more about Kyle Tucker. That's what we need to do.
That would be very good. Tampa Bay is losing 6-4 to the St. Louis Cardinals. The Chicago White Sox are beating the Yankees 5-2. And the Boston Red Sox beat the Kansas City Royals 4-3. So actually the Tampa Bay game is final. So it's the Orioles and Yankees that are still playing. As a result of that, the standings are Baltimore Orioles in first place. They are 70-43. Tampa Bay is in second at 69-47. The Toronto Blue Jays, 65-51, back over the 14 games over 500 mark. They're 6.5 back of the AL East division lead. I don't know if we can really stick a fork in that thing yet, Kevin. 59-55 are the Boston Red Sox. They're 11.5 back, 5 back of the wild card. The Yankees are also 59-55. They are 11.5 back, 5 back of the wild card. The Yankees are 4-6 in their last 10 games. Boston is 3-7. Both the Jays and Tampa are 6-4. Baltimore 7-3. Soon, I guess, to become 6-4, pending the outcome. Pending the outcome of that particular game. I get the sense, Kevin, I've said it. I don't think that the Jays, or I don't think we should view second place as being out of the picture for the Blue Jays. I really don't. You know, whatever it means a home field advantage in a wild card game, whatever. I don't think we should or wild card series. I don't think we should eliminate it by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, 6.5 might be hard to make up. Although, you know what? Again, the whole thing is how many teams between you and your goal, right? And that's kind of the issue.
More importantly, do you think the Blue Jays could go on, say, a 10-2 run?
With this type of pitching, yeah.
With this type of hitting?
No. With this type of pitching, yes.
Well, yeah. So,
you asked me.
You basically erased that.
No. Do I think it's impossible that they would do it? The answer would be no. No. With Bo Bichette comes back, no. I think it's entirely possible they could do something like go 10-2. I mean, it's not like they're going to be playing. It's not like every game the rest of the way is against great teams. They do have that Oakland, Colorado road swing coming up. Like I, you know, and that's the way I look at it. I mean, I have to. It's August 9th. It's August 9th. You got to look at it that way.
I like your
either opinion. either that or it's time to start talking about the Leafs. 416-870-0590. Everybody's going no star 590 1-888-666-0590. Get enough grief.
I went 6.5 games, and all of a sudden you're mentioning the Leafs. What's happening here?
Yeah.
What?
Just like to keep our eyes on the, on the prize, right? Keep our eyes. Like, I don't want any more. We don't need any more frustration in the city. That's my biggest fear, is that this team suddenly becomes like the Leafs. That's my biggest fear, where it's God, these guys again. What the hell are they going to do?
Win a series and all that'll go away.
Russ in Oshawa. What is up, Russ?
I would like to... I got a kind of a thought for you gentlemen.
Okay.
I've watched the Jays since 77. Means I'm old.
Take a number.
And I've watched a lot of all the great hitters when they've had at bats, even on replays and everything else. And a big chunk of them, I'd say 70 or 80% of them, have a slightly open stance. I would suggest to tell Mr. Varsho to try that, and maybe even Vladdy. Now, last year, Caleb, it was after the All-Star break when Captain Kirk was not doing very well.
What's the name of your cat, by the way?
Oh, Muffin. She's okay. Blind and old. She's like me.
Muffin's like me. We're both of us. We're the same.
Treats. That's the all same. She wants. But
you know what they say? It means your other senses get better. That's all I can.
Well, I hope.
Yeah, that's true. Anyhow.
But no, because I watched in 92 and 93, 15 and 16, and Edwin had a rather pronounced open stance. Jose.
Is Muffin agreeing or disagreeing with you, by the way? Is Muffin agreeing or disagreeing with you?
Oh, she's always disagreeing with
me.
Okay,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so, anyway, go ahead.
My wife, I don't know which is worse, my wife or the cat, but, you know, that's beside the point.
Please tell me your wife's name isn't Muffin.
Maybe they should try a slightly open stance.
Yeah.
You know, just because Kevin says that... Mr. Varsho has a swing out and around. Well, if you open up a little bit, wouldn't that eliminate some of that out and around? Just a thought.
Yep.
I'd phoned the other day. I'd made a suggestion, but you guys didn't get to me, but that was okay, about, with your pitchers.
Yep.
You know, that would you say that magic box is about 90 to 95% accurate?
Oh, the box on TV.
Yeah.
Russ, we'll address that issue. Thanks so much. Make sure that Muffin gets some milk or some...
Oh, she don't drink milk.
She doesn't? What does she drink? No.
Water.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was something else. I mean,
no, yeah. She's just being lippy.
Okay, thanks, man. Be well.
You too.
Take care. Russ in Oshawa and Muffin. I mean, I'm with, listen, Rusty, don't get me started on the magic box and the TV.
I love the box.
Yeah, you do. But of course you would. An educated baseball fan doesn't need a box to tell him if it's a ball or strike. No, we've already talked about that. The umpires and the oval zone.
Yeah, it's oval. Oh, absolutely. Major League Baseball's out to get the umpires. Absolutely. That's why they put that on there. It's so everybody can make fun of the umpires. We get it. Yeah.
Boxes.
Absolutely.
People need to have visual aids to watch. But it drives me nuts.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts, the visual aids. It just drives me nuts. Anyhow, as for open stances, I mean, I don't know about if we suggest Dalton Varsho or Vladdy have an open stance, but I want Russ's point is kind of interesting, because quite often when we talk about stances, Kevin, we focus on triggers. I know you're a big fan of positioning, scoot up, scoot in, whatever you're going to do.
Yep.
Explain to me and explain to the layman, what are the positives and negatives of the open stance?
Open stance is more for people that have trouble seeing the baseball with both eyes. A lot of the times, like Dalton Varsho right now is closed off. He has a real tough time, and he looks very stiff. Like, he doesn't look all the time hitterish because he's closed off with his lower half, and he really has to force his chin on his right shoulder so he has both eyes pointed at the target. That's sort of whenever you want to open up, is to allow you to sort of free up your upper half and put both eyes seeing and looking towards your target a little bit easier. It's a lot. Like, he's been through a lot. Like, let's not lie. Mm-hmm. Like it's everywhere he's been hitting in the order, the things he's not doing, the things he's tried, like he leg kicked, stride separated. He ain't toe tapping. I mean, somebody said earlier he's toe tapping. That's not true. He's back to that stride separate thing. Toe tap means you have a fluid one move to another move. He's not doing that. He's stride separating again, which he's trying to sort of eliminate his lower half and use his hands a little bit better, because he does have quick hands. Again, this gets back to that. He's doing whatever he can do to try and throw barrel at baseball, and that's a very hard thing to do. That's why you see him chasing a lot. He'll take good pitches. He'll swing at bad pitches. That's sort of what you do when you're thinking more about your lower half and your mechanics than just being free and easy and thinking about seeing the baseball. It's hard. Like, when you're not hitting baseballs hard, it's hard to think just about hitting the baseball hard. I know it sounds simple, but it's really tough.
What was the most radical adjustment you made when you played? Like, I'm talking, what was the most radical thing you would have done, I don't know, not necessarily in-game, but in the middle of a season?
Use a lighter bat. I've used heavier bats. I think that's, once you get a certain age, like, you're sort of married to who you are. Like, you'll tweak things, right, where, if you know, you have a different two-strike approach from one year to the other. It's you're trying to get off your backside. Maybe you're a 70-30, which means 70% of your weight's on your backside, where you're just trying to basically throw the barrel at the baseball. Maybe that's not working because you're not getting off your backside enough. Maybe you change that. So, yeah, the Vladdy thing, for me, that would be more of a thing he needs to do. It's not so much where you start, it's where you finish. It's like Bo. He opens his hips up to clear it so he can catch up the velocity and get the barrel in the hitting zone longer. If you're going to do that, if you're Vladdy, it's more about your finish than it is about where you're starting, opening, those kind of things. And again, for me, it's more Vladdy's hand movement than it is anything else. It's too much. Like, it's just a lot to line up, and that's why he jams himself. That's why he's – look at him. Consistently, he's late on a heater and out in front of a breaking ball. That'll tell you, timing-wise, he's just not there.
The Astros and Orioles have gone final 8-2 for the Astros over the Orioles in a series that I think a lot of people were sort of looking at it as a bit of a measuring stick for the Baltimore Orioles. Clearly, it's like the Astros are giving Major League Baseball kind of a forget-me-not, you know?
It's when everybody's healthy. We're still here. Everybody's healthy in the American League. They may have the best lineup. Now, I think the Braves have the best lineup in baseball.
Yeah.
But in the American League, when Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker and
Jose Altuve is hitting, I think it was 4-for-5 tonight, or 3-for-5 or 3-for-4. Like, they're starting, and you saw that ball he hit at Yankee Stadium. If he starts going, that's an awfully tough lineup. It's an awfully tough lineup.
Have to pitch to every single guy differently, which is almost impossible to do if you're a starting pitcher.
And, of course, they've been there, right?
That doesn't hurt. Can't teach experience this time of the year.
Nope, they've been there, and they've got the championship ring. Again, the final tonight, 1-0. The Toronto Blue Jays beating the Cleveland Guardians. Kevin Gausman, folks, he was terrific. 4 hits, 6 strikeouts over 7 innings. George Springer, solo home run in the first inning after a 13-pitch at-bat. That held up the rest of the way. The Jays had a couple of chances to put the game away. Vladdy hit into a double play. They had the bases loaded in the 8th inning. None out. Danny Jansen flied out to right, not deep enough. Score the runner, and then Davis Schneider hit into a double play. A good play by the Guardian shortstop, but nonetheless,
jammed on a 0-2 curveball right down the middle.
Yeah, and you load the bases against the bullpen. I mean, and you know, Kevin's point about the Danny Jansen swung at a pitch. He swung at a 3-1 pitch. He's just not going to do anything with it. Quite frankly, I'm surprised he even got it in the air. But yeah, it was nonetheless, the Jays won. The series wraps up tomorrow. Do not forget, it's a 1:07 first pitch. Blair and Barker will be on following that game. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today. Good night from all of us here in Toronto, and good night, Muffin.